This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.
Look who is in the studio lounge, Mr. Jason Sturrock. Although your last name doesn't look anything like Sturrock.
No, I am blessed. We lost a couple of vowels when we came to Ellis Island, and thankfully we had somebody who was a Czech who could spell the name, and I'm not named Smith.
Right, there you go. There you go. Well, thank you for the phonetic spelling. I'm just messing with you. But you are the CUNA Deputy Chief Advocacy Officer for Federal Government Affairs at CUNA. So
yep.
Tell me about that. What does that job entail? What do you get to do on a daily basis?
Well, a lot of what I get to do is help manage our lobbying team up on Capitol Hill, in addition to our outside lobbyists, and help implement CUNA's vision into legislation, not only advancing bills but also stopping some of the bad ones that are out as well. So it presents its challenges with an evenly divided Congress, essentially, with a 3-vote Democrat majority in the House and a 50-50 Senate, in an incredibly partisan atmosphere. But I think with the strength of the credit unions being able to work both on a nonpartisan basis to advance members' priorities that help serve their constituents and their elected officials' communities, you're starting to see victories for credit unions in Washington.
Good. Yeah, because the credit union folks, they kind of come and they go. They come and they go, and you got to reintroduce or reinforce that message. So that's a challenge unto itself, right?
It is. But what's so exciting about what we do at CUNA and kind of the 360-degree theory of advocacy is that GAC, what we do here to these few days in Washington, D.C., are just part of it in terms of the education and the lobbying on credit union priorities, how what is done here in Washington or what is done in the state capitals impacts the local communities, and continually whether they're on an airplane or at the grocery store, they're going to run into a credit union member, so that the in-person visits here, the virtual and Zoom meetings that continually happen, and stopping by their district or their state offices is an advantage that we have over any other trade association across the country.
Completely. Let's switch gears to your breakout session. Is that today or yesterday?
Our breakout session was yesterday.
Okay, so this is a post report on your breakout session, and it's entitled "A Capitol Hill Update: An Insider's View of Congress and How It Works." This, I'm fascinated. I love kind of the behind the scenes how things work. So, can you give us a quick overview on what you talked about yesterday?
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of tried to give kind of the flavor of D.C., not only this being kind of a special week, kind of with the credit union, with CUNA GAC being the first large fly-in since COVID started, to have 4,000-plus credit union members in the city. It's kind of, you can kind of feel a change, and we heard that from a lot of people around D.C. yesterday.
Right.
But to kind of tell them what's going on Capitol Hill, where things have changed, with the security gates being back up now for potential security issues, and how things are kind of coming back to normal with the mask mandate now being gone. But and with the president doing the state of the address tonight,
that's going to be interesting.
I like to say that we told everyone he just wanted to make it special for GAC to have a special
that's
event.
Good timing.
But it really was. Is talking about how we're able to advance legislation in an incredibly hyper-partisan environment. You know, two very specific bipartisan bills. The first one being your credit board, we call it the member expulsion bill, whereby amending the Federal Credit Union Charter Act. It's literally in there. It just streamlined the ability to expel members. And we've had, we've had credit unions that were robbed by their members who could not expel them. And so
that
when you tell that to a member of Congress, like,
right,
it makes no sense. But when you can get Tom Emmer, Republican of Minnesota, who's head of the National Republican Congressional Committee, whose job is to beat Democrats, work with Congressman Perlmutter from Colorado, very, good, strong Republican, good, strong Democrat, to have that bill voted out of committee in December on a voice vote, where you can have Congressman McHenry and Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez agree on something.
Yeah.
It's important. It shows the strength of the credit union movement. But we're also happy today, fingers crossed, we'll be introducing another very bipartisan piece of legislation. We call it the Board Modernization Act. It is in the charter that the credit unions have to meet every month.
Good.
And the legislation, it's going to be led by Congressman Vargas, a Democrat from California, and Congressman Gonzalez, a Republican in Ohio. Mm-hmm. We have over a dozen sponsors, both sides of the aisle. It's mm-hmm. been signed off mm-hmm. By leadership on both sides to allow the flexibility for credit unions to be able to meet every other month. So while small modernization changes to the charter, mm-hmm. it's important that we continually keep advancing that ball down the mm-hmm. down the field, mm-hmm. even in an incredibly divided partisan environment yeah. in Washington.
Yeah. So what are some of the takeaways that your audience gained yesterday, kind of getting it behind the scenes, just kind of how it works and how...
There's that kind of the nuts and bolts behind
cool.
the scenes, you know, we kind of role played a little bit. How do you talk to a Republican versus how do you talk to a Democrat?
Really?
Like,
oh my gosh.
On the issue of field of membership.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're in a Republican office, I mean, this is, you know, the banks are going to push back heavy on the issue. You talk to a Republican office and you talk about how it's a private sector solution to public sector problems.
Okay.
How that the issue of serving underserved communities, providing additional capital to create small businesses, it's done by private sector that does not grow government. Because the counter argument would be, if these are banking deserts, we have post offices there. We could have the Small Business Administration do these. No, you don't need to grow government. Credit unions have proven.
We're already there. Yeah.
And we are, what was shocking to me this week, is the number of local credit unions that are having city councils and mayors personally ask them come to our towns because banks have left. And that is amazing. But then on the counter, how did you talk about that issue on the Democrat side? It's an incredibly popular issue among Democrat legislators. But then the question of how you address it, the CRA. You know, you have a new financial institution coming in the community. How are you serving that community? Mm-hmm. How do we change the legislation to ensure that NCUA will be a part of it, mm-hmm. to report back to Congress mm-hmm. to show that they are serving the community mm-hmm. so that we are providing that benefit? So it's same goal, pass this piece of legislation, but how do you communicate those goals to different offices who have different views of the world?
Oh my gosh. While you're talking, I'm thinking men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It's two different languages that you have to speak with
Absolutely.
A Republican and Democrat.
Yes.
How funny is that? Gosh. Well, that's the way it works. So what's the significance of this topic? I mean, obviously, getting an insider's view and learning these languages is a pretty cool thing, but not every credit union is going to be interacting with their representative. But again, I think this is a pretty neat insider's look. But what's the goal here? Why is it so significant?
I think it's so important. It helps them to... What's great about credit unions, we are always advancing our mission. By just doing a good job, mm-hmm. providing great customer service, you know, in our branches, mm-hmm. we are sharing the credit union message and how why credit unions are a great financial option for people.
Yeah.
But we live in different communities. I come from North and South Dakota. You know, we have a different view of the world and how we're raised versus people yeah. from Rhode Island or
right.
California.
Right.
But we're all Americans.
Right.
And so, how you take that spirit of, you know, putting yourself in the other person's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
How do I sell a credit union? How do I
yeah.
sell what we do, our products, to someone who may not know about credit unions but has a different view mm-hmm. or a different understanding mm-hmm. or a way that they like to communicate? We don't get the advantage of communicating by the way we want to be talked to. We have to understand that you have to speak their language. You have
Marketing
to speak
101.
There it is.
Know your audience.
And it's putting
audience.
It into politics
yeah.
and it's putting it into customer service.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. You got to craft your message
yep.
according to who you're talking to.
Exactly.
I see it. I get it. You talked about the State of the Union real quick.
Yes.
You want to give us a preview of
well,
what to expect?
I would have given you a different set of topics about 7 days ago.
Yeah,
I mean,
think we all would have.
You know, the speech is dramatically changed to be one more about foreign policy, about what is happening with Russia and Ukraine and Europe. And thankfully, we're seeing, you know, bipartisanship on that issue, mm-hmm. that we will stand with Ukraine. And you can only you could take a look at what the credit unions have already done, working with our partners. I mean, I believe the credit unions are a family, you know, not only in your community, in your state, in your country, but globally through a World Council. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the work that's already being done to support our Ukrainian credit union members, their staff,
yeah.
you know, their institutions. I do believe that probably right now, the Ukrainian ambassador to the United States is Skyping in. It will be Skyping in to talk about what is going on there. So that's incredibly important.
Yeah.
So it tugs at your heartstrings a little bit, but mm-hmm. you know, credit unions are a family, and you're a family whether it's in New York or it's in Kyiv.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's going to be obviously a lot of discussion on domestic policy and the economy. You know, there is inflation out there. There are people that are still struggling. We're still in some parts of the country coming out of COVID, how to deal with those issues, and there's still a lot of people hurting. And how can credit unions help fill that yeah. role to serve their communities and provide that hand up and that the hand up, you know, to grow small businesses, yeah. to restart the economy, whether it's, you know, a mother who wants to create her own cupcake store, you know, or, a farmer who wants to expand his cattle that he mm-hmm. has. So mm-hmm. Credit unions are going to play an incredibly important role, and we'll be looking to the president and see what programs that we can work together on and support to help drive the American economy forward.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting talk tonight for yep. sure, but I think what's going to be equally interesting is the water cooler talk tomorrow afterward to see what people are thinking and what their reaction is going to be. So.
Obviously, I mean, you know, what the speech that happens tonight is not going to magically lower gas prices.
No.
Or
coming
lower,
from California, oh my gosh,
you know,
you're
or,
right.
You know, or lower beef prices, or, yeah. you know, the things that they're seeing on an everyday basis, you know, when they pay their electric bill or their gas bill or, you know, their grocery bill. I mean, you know, we've seen a dramatic increase in those. And so how do we, as financial institutions, work with our members to help address those problems, and hopefully that there will be an opportunity to have the government, you know, put out policies that will make it easier for us to serve our members, mm-hmm. but also for kind of the economy to return back to normal.
Yeah. Can't wait for that.
Yes, sir.
It sounds like we're kind of turning the tide, basically. It sounds like the end of this year, moving into next year, things will be getting back to where they should be, it sounds like.
I think so. You still have a lot of federal spending that hasn't been spent yet. All of the, you know, you had in the, you know, the transportation infrastructure package that passed last summer, because we've not been able to pass an omnibus spending plan, that money has not flowed out to start the road building project because we're continually in CRs. I mean, the government will run out of money on March 11th, fingers crossed.
Again.
We'll have to do another CR, or they'll, you know, have some sort of, you know, a spending package to pass for fiscal year 22, of which we're already 5 months in, and then we can start on fiscal year 23's budget.
Okay.
So, you know, that's going to be an obvious boost for many small businesses, construction companies, mm-hmm. you know, all across the country.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for those things to happen
okay.
as well.
Interesting times indeed, Jason. Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Appreciate
this. I love the insider's look and speaking the languages, all that type of stuff is so fascinating on how this place works
yep.
to make our country run. So good stuff. Appreciate it, man.
My pleasure.
Well, congrats on the presentation, and keep
you.
Up the good work. This is, again, it's so fascinating. So
absolutely. Thanks so much for all that you do for credit unions and helping share our vision and message.
Oh, my pleasure.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.